Aren't you thankful that our Father made sure it was recorded in His Word that He is a God who loves us with an everlasting love? Amen. We're going to finish up this week on the Father who ran. So we're going to be talking about yet another messy person today. We've talked about Rahab. We talked about the prodigal son. We talked about the father who ran to meet that prodigal. We're going to talk a little bit more today about that other boy. You know, our Heavenly Father cares about things that are lost. He cares about people that are lost. Our Heavenly Father cares about things that are not just lost, but things that are damaged. He wants our family relationships to be good. And He cares about the lost souls. He cares about the relationships. And through this parable that we've been looking at for the last several weeks, we learned some very practical things. And we're going to just kind of mark through some that we talked about. First of all, we know that we can have a better understanding of restored relationships when we come to our senses. Remember, that's what the young man did when he left. He finally hit rock bottom, bottom of the barrel, and the scripture says he came to his senses. Folks, if we will acknowledge our part in the broken relationship and have a heart of repentance, God begins to work. Secondly, take responsibility by repenting of your own sins. Folks, did you know that nobody can repent of your sins for you? Don't you wish you could repent of sins for somebody else? Amen. Sometimes we wish we could do that. But God's Word says that we each must take into account our own sinfulness, take it to the Lord. Then we have to commit to make things right. The third thing that we need to do, which is what our sermon series title was based on, run to reconciliation. The Father was watching for the Son to come home. Take the first step towards reconciliation. God would have you to move off high center, if you will, and move towards reconciling. So we move to the next part of our message today. And I want you to ask you, have you ever been hurt by somebody? Isn't that a ridiculous question? Maybe I should ask, has anybody never been hurt? And if they have, I'll tell you, you've had a protected life. We are so thankful that God helps us to overcome. But I wonder, have you been deeply hurt by someone? Most of you, if not all of you, have. It is painful, no matter where that hurt comes from, but it's even greater if that person is close to you. Amen? The closer you are, you know, they say that, you know, the wider your arms open for love, the easier it is to get gut punched. Folks, we need to understand that we are a vulnerable people. Well, let me ask you, how do you respond when you get hurt? That's what our message is about today. How do you respond? Do you get angry? Do you feel bitterness? Do you feel discouragement? Do you feel depression? Do you look for an opportunity to return the hurt? To get back for vengeance? Or maybe you just try to ignore the hurt, thinking, well, maybe it'll all go away. Have you ever tried that one? Did it ever work? No. Maybe you just decided that you were going to wait until that person got right and they came to you to make everything right. Sometimes that works. But not very often. Quite honestly, folks, every one of these ways that I just mentioned are not helpful. As a matter of fact, they're even harmful. They don't get the job done and they just make things worse. Did you know that bitterness and anger, if you let it dwell in your heart, it'll eat you up. It'll eat your lunch before you know it, folks. Discouragement and depression will leave you both sad and empty. And waiting for somebody else to do what's right is a waste of your time. And all God's people said, if you're going to wait for somebody else to do right, folks, you're going to be waiting a long time. Did you realize that the only person that you have control over is who? Is it whom? Who? Yourself. You are the only one. So determine, dear friends, that you're going to respond, that you're going to take things into your own hands, and when a relationship gets messy, you're going to do the right thing. So what are we to do when other people hurt or offend us? I'm going to give you three things. Are you ready? The first one is go to God. Go to God. Spend a lot of time in prayer. Spend time seeking His wisdom. I love Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 that tells us to seek the heart of God. Don't look for your own answers. Seek the heart of God. So the first thing is to what? Go to God. And the second thing is go to God. Go to God again. But go to His Word. Do you realize that what we have here, what we call the Bible, is God's holy word written down for you? Somebody says, well, I've never heard God speak to me. And I'll ask them, have you never read the Bible? Well, sure. I said, then God has spoken to you. You just weren't listening. Oh, now, I didn't hit a nerve, did I? Maybe I didn't. Listen, have you ever been talked to and not listened? Listen, I'm accused of that quite often. You're not listening to me. Matter of fact, my wife made me get hearing aids. I still don't hear all the time. Sometimes I just get a little ornery. And when the truth comes out, I'm a little slow to hear. Now, I guess I'm the only one in the world that does that. Oh, the wives are looking at husbands now. Husbands are looking at wives. We look at each other. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when we go to God's Word, we really need to be listening. We need to really be hearing, because God speaks to us through His Word. The third thing that we need to do is, you know, first, go to God. Take it to Him in prayer. Second, go to God. Go to His Word. And third, be ready to forgive, because God's Word makes it very, very clear that that's where we're supposed to be. One verse that deals with the interaction with others is Colossians chapter 3, a couple of verses, verse 12 and 13. It says this, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. Now, wait a minute, stop. It said to put on. What does it mean to put on? Like putting on a coat, like putting on your pants, like putting on a shirt, socks and shoes. Put them on. It says, put on. Now, here's the list. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. We must forgive. Now, there's another verse that gives us some very practical instruction along the same line. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 says this, stop being bitter. So, in other words, we've had it put on, and it says to put on all these good things, and now we've got to take off. Stop. Put it away. Stop being bitter. Stop being angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful, and forgive others just as God forgave you. Boy, I could stop right there. That's enough to take us for months. Amen? God's Word tells us not to do those things that come so natural. Have you noticed that? It's so natural to let things go the wrong way. God's Word says, do not do what comes natural. Don't lose your cool. Don't fly into a rage. Don't be rude. Don't use harsh or bad language. Don't slander or gossip. And instead, God's Word says to do exactly what does not come natural to do. And what does not come natural to do? Stay cool. Be compassionate. Be kind. Be loving. Offering our forgiveness. Folks, God's Word makes it pretty plain that we're supposed to be a forgiving people. Now, I'm going to tell you, it does not come natural to us, but it comes when we have the love of God in our hearts, because with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's when we are able to do what God calls us to do. You know, I've read some good advice. When you have somebody who's hurt you, you've had somebody who has offended you, they said to do three things. Be direct, be honest, and be kind. Direct, honest, and kind. Now, often We do our best to start out kind. Have you ever noticed that? You said, okay, I'm gonna take it easy. I'm going to be kind. But when we become hurt or frustrated, have you noticed how often it is that we very quickly go more to the direct and honest and lose the kind part? You know, we pull out our sword and we start, well, I'm going to cut before I'm cut anymore. We need to work very diligently, dear friends, to live all three together. It's okay to be direct. It's okay to be honest. But we need to wrap it up with God's love. Direct. Now, what does that mean? Go straight to the person that we have an issue with. Go to them. Don't ignore it. Don't hide it. Second, be honest. Tell them why you're there. Deal with the truth. No exaggeration. Don't put your hurt feelings behind it. Just go straight to them. And then, of course, deal with love. In other words, cover everything that we do with love. Be kind. The truth is it not, that in and of ourselves, we don't do very well with this? Often, we're just the opposite. That's why, friends, you've got to have a plan in place before somebody hurts you, before somebody gets to you. Before we're confronted with the hurt, have the plan. And the plan is to seek the heart of God. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in the Word. Be ready to be forgiving. And I'm going to tell you, it takes practice. Have you noticed that? It takes practice. And it requires that we want to do God's will. And it requires that we absolutely surrender our will to God's. Because God's will is right. God's will help us do what we're supposed to be doing. That's not easy. Any amens? And yet, dear friend, the payoff is great. The payoff is God's peace. The payoff is God's righteousness. The same kind of righteousness that we see modeled by the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, where the Father was watching for the boy, ready to forgive, ready with patience. Now, the next thing we need to do is we need to allow for the mistakes of other people. How? By loving others deeply. Now, let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. That scripture says, above all, love each other deeply. Love each other how? Deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a what? What's that word? Multitude. Not a little. Not a tiny bit. But love covers a multitude of sins. This is talking about us in how we treat and how we deal with other people. Now listen. Love each other deeply. That sounds very simple, doesn't it? I mean, that's such an easy thing to say. Love each other deeply. But I'm going to tell you, simple does not mean easy. It is not easy. Even when we don't like someone, even when we don't like what they do, we are still to love them in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the only way that you can do that is with God's help. God's help. This father that we've read about, this father who ran to his son. You remember the story. The prodigal took what was the father's. He went off to a foreign land, wasted it away, found himself in trouble, decided to come home. And when he came home, he was going to say, I was wrong. I sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I don't even deserve to be a son anymore. I'm just asking, can I be a hired help? I just want a job. I just need a job. I just need to eat. But this father loved his son deeply in spite of the hurt. And don't you tell me that this father must not have been hurt. Listen, the father was hurt. This son hurt his daddy. But he loved him deeply in spite of the hurt. If not, he never would have been watching for him. Amen? He would have showed up on the door and the father would have said, what do you want? That's not how it went, is it? I'm going to tell you that with God's help, with the Holy Spirit's strength, we can deal with hurt like this father did with God's help. But dear friend, there's another person in this story We haven't talked about him too much. But Jesus makes it clear that this other person, the older brother, was angry and resentful of his little brother. Read with me from Luke chapter 15. In verse 25 through 28, it says that the son came home and the father received him. The son went through his spiel. Forgive me, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I just need to be a hired servant. And the father says, get a robe, get a ring, get some shoes, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. My son that was lost has been found and we're going to celebrate. Well, the son, where was the older son? Listen, it says, now the older son was in the field. So where was he? What was he doing? He was working. Listen, that older boy had a good work ethic. He was working. And it says, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Something that just didn't happen normally. So he called one of the servants and he asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. So in other words, you know what he said? There's a party. Little brother came home. Come on into the party. But I want you to notice what verse 28 says. It says, but he was angry and would not go in. Oh, I'm so glad none of you are that bitter. I'm so glad that I don't have that problem. Oh, dear friends, hope we don't lie to ourselves that way. We all have to be very, very careful that we don't get angry and just avoid the party. Perhaps, and not even perhaps, but for sure, he felt slighted, didn't he? He felt angry with his brother because this boy had taken what really wasn't time for him to take. He took stuff that he felt probably was more his. And he was jealous because his father had thrown him a party. But his response is intense, people. He grows angry. He says, I'm not going into that party. While his little brother has acted the fool, big brother has been out there working. He's been faithful. Instead of receiving discipline, the younger brother, the younger son, receives grace. Instead of a lecture, instead of coming home and seeing everybody gathered around with the young prodigal on his knees and bowing and being preached to and fussed at, instead of getting a lecture, he got love. Where's the justice in that, folks? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way when someone received grace? Dear friends, when we love deeply, which is what God's word says, above all, love deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. When we love deeply, we find the strength to forgive. When love is involved, so much easier to forgive. The older brother did not love his younger brother like the father did. He just didn't love him as much. Otherwise, he would have been much more ready to forgive. You see, he didn't want the sin covered. He wanted it exposed. He wanted the younger son to be ousted, not redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sin. He didn't want to see mercy. You know, somebody said it one time. It says, real love will practice the five bears. I said that right. Real love will practice the five bears. Bear and forbear. Amen. I like that. You remember that one. Write it down. Put it on your kitchen sink or kitchen refrigerator. There we go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. Bear with one another and forgive one another. In other words, find a way to get over your offense and forgive. How about we just make an acknowledgement right here? Listen, I want everybody to listen, and I want you to listen like your neighbors are not listening, okay? Like the one to your left, to your right, behind and in front, like they're not listening. Listen to this. The people next to you, the person sitting behind you, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting wherever they are around you, they are not perfect. They are sinners. If you are going to love them deeply, you're going to have to learn to give them some grace. You're going to have to learn to give them a little bit of room. You know, those who have hurt you and need forgiveness are the ones that we're talking about. They need some grace. And by the way, do you realize that if I'm sharing this with you and you're nodding your head, they're saying the same thing about you. You're not perfect. You need grace. And remember this. We need to be willing to give grace, because at some point in the future, you're going to need it too. Amen? I'm going to tell you, it happens. What goes around comes around, dear friend. Now, here's just a little side note for you. I want to remind you of this. Forgiveness does not mean that we overlook or condone sin. We are to condemn sin. We are to preach and teach and walk and talk against sin. We are not supposed to pretend that the hurt is not real. When somebody hurts you and you forgive, that doesn't mean that it's just forgotten in a way that hey, it shouldn't be taken care of. Remember we talked last week that there's a difference between restoration and forgiveness? Forgiveness means that we forgive them from our heart. Restoration means that they want to come home and they repent. So there's a difference. Denying it doesn't help. But choosing to forgive means that we don't hold on to our bitterness, and from our heart we forgive them so that when they do come home, we'll be ready to restore them. You choose not to hold on to anger. You choose not to hold on to bitterness. You choose to love but still hold people accountable. It's a tough line sometimes. There's one more step. And the last step is to seek peace by building other people up. Now, when relationships get messy, and they often do, we need to go back and read the prodigal son parable, the parable of the running father. When relationship gets messy, we need to remember that we don't want to be like the prodigal, amen? We don't want to be the one who runs away. But we also don't want to be like the older brother who won't forgive and holds on to bitterness. Who do we want to be like? The father. Be like the father in the parable. Run to those in need of forgiveness. Restore those who are repentant and seek restoration. Love deeply and make allowances for the fault of other people. And you know what? Help other people do the same. That's what the father did. The father not only ran to the prodigal, he also sought out the older brother when he had an attitude problem. In verse 28, it says, the older brother came in, he heard the party, he said, what's going on? They said, your younger son came home, they're having a party. And it says, he was angry and would not go in. The rest of that verse says, therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. You know what? The older brother was riding what we call the whambulance. Amen? He was just having a pity party. Oh, whammy and wham this and wham that. And dad said, hey, you know, why don't you come in? Why don't you understand? And then in verse 29 and 30, the son listed off all of his righteousness and his brother's woes. Why, I have been faithful, and I have done this, and that brother did this, and that brother did that, and he did this, and I have been faithful to you, and I have always been here, and on and on and on and on. So the father talked to him, and this is what he said. Verse 31 and 32. He said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Folks, we need to learn to celebrate people coming home. Amen. Lost who are brought to Christ, brothers and sisters who were lost to the church but come back. We need to learn to celebrate their return. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with all men. Now, let me ask you, does that mean that we have to cave in on every disagreement we have? Is that what that means? Just say, okay, you're right. No, that's not what it means. Not at all. It means that we change our approach in our disagreements. Now listen, folks, I'm going to teach you a counseling lesson here that will help every single one of us in our homes, with our families, with our friends, at work, with our spouse, with our children, with everybody. Scripture reminds us that as far as it's possible with us and how it depends on us, live at peace with everybody. So first thing we need to do is seek to understand. Now that's not what we do first, is it? What we first want to do is say, you need to hear my side. Well, that's hard to overcome. But the scripture says to listen. Remember, we go back to that ratio, two ears, one mouth. If we can try to listen twice as much as we speak, we're to first seek to understand. And then once we understand, then to be understood. We learn to control our attitude. We learn to control our tone. We need to learn to control our timing and our temper. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you this. It's not difficult to learn to express yourself in ways that speak the truth without putting someone else down. The difficulty is to do that in the heat of the moment. It's just you and me, Bill. It's the heat of the moment that we need the help. It's the heat of the moment where we have the difficulty. We all know how to do that. To say, well, tell me what you mean. Explain what you mean. How about listening? It takes real humility. Listen to me. It takes real humility to seek a mutual win rather than a personal win. It's hard. But we've got to want to make sure that both win. So let me ask you, which of these do you struggle with? Attitude, tone, timing, temper, the want to. Did you know that God will help you with that? If you will identify where you struggle and you'll become intentional in your prayer with the Lord and you'll become intentional with your approach to your family member or your friend, God will help you with that. He really will. So what are Jesus's instructions on the subject? Let me just share it with you. Jesus told us in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give to you. Some of you already know this one. A new commandment I give to you, that you, what? Love one another. As I have loved you, he said, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we will prove that we are His. We will prove that we belong to God. We'll prove that we are a disciple of God by never, ever having a disagreement. Ha! No. He said that we will prove we are His by how we handle the disagreement. Oh. We'll prove that we're His by handling the disagreement by loving each other. How about we make a commitment to that right now to do better? Amen? At the beginning of chapter 15 of Luke, he talked about lost things. I'm going to close out with this on lost things. First, he said in Luke chapter 15 that there was a lost sheep that went astray, which the shepherd leaves his whole flock and he goes out to find that one lost sheep. And then there's a coin, and the woman searches diligently until she finds the coin. And finally, there's a lost son whom the father watches for watches and prays, has already forgiven in his heart. And when he sees him, he runs to him and redeems him. Make no mistake, people. Listen to me. To God, you are that lost, precious lamb. To God, you are that lost and hopefully returning son. To God, he loves you with an everlasting love. You are the sheep that went astray. You are the sheep that was lost, but was worth the shepherd's love and effort to find and to restore. You realize this, that the parable of the prodigal son is actually about two lost sons? Hello, are you with me? It's actually about two lost sons. The first is the younger son who wastes his inheritance on wild living. And then there's the older son, the older brother, that's angry that there's a celebration for the return of his brother. How in the world can we be angry at the return of a loved one? Folks, if we have that kind of thought, we need to get our hearts right. In both situations, praise God, we see a father who seeks what is lost. Just as the shepherd searches for the lost sheep and the woman sought out the lost coin, the loving father is proactive when he searches for his sons. He watches for the lost son to come home. And when the older brother loses his senses, he goes to him too and says, hey, you need to come around because this brother that was lost is now found. Let me ask you, which one of these people do you most relate to today? Are you the prodigal? Caught up in selfish living? I want to tell you this, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've hurt, God loves you. How long before you come to your senses? Are you the unforgiving brother? How long before you come to your senses and forgive? You're going to continue to miss the party because you won't turn loose of your anger and resentment. Get over it, forgive, come to the party. Amen? Let's resolve to be like the Father. Amen? I want to share a song with you. It speaks to my heart. I hope it does yours. Everyone was sleeping. The father of the wayward son slipped out in the night, looked toward the city, wiped away his tears, prayed his son would hear his father's cry. Turn your heart toward home. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Turn your heart towards home. But not only the sons are the wayward ones, their mothers and fathers who have said their goodbyes, and the sad eyes of children are looking through their tears, praying mom and daddy could hear their cries. Turn your heart toward home. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Turn your heart toward home. There are those who have never walked away from home, but in their heart they're so many miles away. And the Father in heaven is the only one who knows, but if you listen, you can hear him say, turn your heart towards home.
turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Turn your heart towards home. You've been gone so long. Please don't wait too long. Turn your heart toward home.
Father, we know that there are so many times that we leave home, when we leave you. God, would you help us to be returned to you? Thank you, God, that your word says that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Father, I know that there are many here today. We need to turn our heart to you. We need to turn our heart to home. To the Lord our God, home to our families, home to our husbands or wives, home to our children, home to our parents. God, I pray that this would be the day that many people come to their senses, young and old, and they come home. Friends, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity. Which person do you relate to most? The prodigal? The angry brother? Maybe you're just somebody on the side right now. I'm going to ask you, would you commit to try and do your best to ask God to help you be a father who runs to reconciliation? Wherever you are, would you come home? Friend, God wants you to return home. This altar is open for you to come, to kneel, to pray, to seek His heart, to ask Him for forgiveness. And if you need to ask your family, your friends for forgiveness, would you commit to doing that today, even if they're not here? Would you commit to doing that?